Wow, do we have something to tech about, where every episode focuses on ways students create digital evidence of active learning.
As a Google for Education district, students and educators alike have free, unlimited access to apps that support creativity, collaboration, communication, and critical thinking, all elements of 21st century active learning.
We are Google for Education certified trainers, Drew and Angie, with
Something to Tech About. Welcome to Something to Tech About. We're excited to have Shauna Farley here from West Chatham Elementary School. And we're going to let her go ahead and open up the show with just telling us a little bit about herself, what she does, and then we're going to have some fun with some question and answer time. So take it away, Shauna.
Okay. Hi, I am Shauna Farley. I work at West Chatham Elementary. I'm the academic coach, and also I do EIP 3rd through 5th grade.
So how long have you been at West Chatham?
I have been at West Chatham. This is my fourth year at West Chatham.
Okay.
I was at Georgetown Elementary across town for 13 years before that.
Okay. So you're looking at
what? Not your first rodeo.
Not my first rodeo.
Oh, gotcha. Well, we are so happy that you are joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Be our guest. Do you have something to tech about? Consider joining us as a guest speaker to share what's happening in your classroom, your favorite tech resource or tool, ways technology has been beneficial for you and your students, or anything else you would like to tech about. Visit our website at www.somethingtotechabout.com and submit the guest speaker Google form.
Now, I was assigned to West Chatham, and you and I had some opportunities to work very close together.
Yes.
And I was always impressed with your enthusiasm of creating opportunities for your students to show what they know and different things like that. I know you created maybe choice boards and different other opportunities. Would you mind begin just kind of sharing one thing that you did for your students?
Sure. I did a reading choice board for my EIP kids in 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade. I changed it up just a little bit for the grade level. And so the first, they had, I made it on Google Slides. Mm-hmm. And I gave them different boxes with different colors, and they had to do one of each of the boxes. Some of the boxes were similar colors, and they had to pick one of each of the colored boxes. So at first, the thing that we need to do in EIP is we have to do the remediation piece through some technology that we can have a record of. So we have them go on to read theory. Excuse me. So I had a timer set up on that choice board where they would have to go and they would click on the timer, and then mm-hmm. they would have to do read theory for that, you know, allotted amount of time before they could go on to the choice board. So then the rest of the choice board was just free choice, whatever they felt like they wanted to do that day. We used a program, a platform called TrueFlix, mm-hmm. which is
I don't know TrueFlix.
Yeah, TrueFlix is really great. It's basically just books that are nonfiction, and they're all readable on the computer. So they would read a book, and then there were like video clips on that same topic, and they would learn a lot about that one topic. And then I had them go do a Flipgrid video on what they learned.
Yes.
After that. So there were a lot of little expert Flipgrid videos on that. It was really cute. I love Flipgrid.
Agreed.
And the kids love Flipgrid. They love to see themselves on the screen. Some of them do. There are a handful that don't want to see themselves on the screen and think it's embarrassing.
Did you find a way for those to still record themselves if they didn't want to see
themselves?
I did.
I told mm-hmm. them to either put the book up in front of the screen and just talk behind the book mm-hmm. so that their face wasn't on the screen. Like, all you could hear was their voice.
Right.
Some of them got creative and just kind of zipped their jackets up over their faces and talked through their jacket. I didn't care. As long as they were giving me the information, I don't care if I have to see your, if you don't want to see your face, it's fine. But that's I fun. Would love to see your sweet face, but it doesn't
I like what you just said there. It's not, you weren't grading how they looked,
right?
You were making sure that they knew
right
the content that they needed to know,
right?
So when you could tell that just from hearing their voice,
just the information.
I like that.
So another one of the choices on this is my reading group that I use this one with. another choice was they would go into a website called it's called Into the Book, mm-hmm. and it talks about different aspects of reading comprehension. So there's visualizing, and then there's I can't remember all of them right off the top of my head. But they click on one and they follow the directions, and then there's an activity they have to perform after they learn how to do that specific skill. And then I had them watch the video, try it themselves, and then take a screenshot of the work that they did and post it into the Google slideshow so everybody could see. And I said, in the directions it said, if you need help, ask me if you need a help taking a screenshot. But I also inserted the directions in the Google slide that showed how to take a screenshot so that
they could just do that on their own.
They could figure it out on there, because most of them are pretty good at figuring it out on
their
own.
And what grade are we talking about, Shauna?
This one was fifth grade.
Okay.
This specific one. I feel like I did this in the third grade one too, but I gave more assistance to the third graders than I did to the fifth graders. Fifth graders were pretty...
They can rely on each other too.
Yeah. So I feel like I had a little bit more work to do with the third graders to take the screenshot, some of them, and they're so tech savvy now, you'd show them once and they're like, okay, I've got it. So if I showed one, then that one would show three others while I'm helping the other ones along. So
perfect.
It really never was a problem.
Great.
And then I had another one where they were inferencing riddles. So there was a website that they went to and they did an inferencing riddle, because that was the skill we were working on. And then they had to put a picture up in the slideshow that, like, if you clicked on the link in mm-hmm. the slideshow, it would take them straight to that that slide in the slideshow. And then they put their work in there. So there was a picture in there of a little boy. It was looks like he's sitting outside of the principal's office. And it says, what do you think he did? Everybody put their responses in the slides. That was really cute. That was really fun. So, and they could choose whatever they wanted to do that day. And we worked on that for a couple of weeks, because I only see them for 45 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. So I don't get to see them for an extended period of time. So it took a little while for them to, work through all of the choices. One challenge we did have was, though, with the Flipgrid, if they didn't finish it, they couldn't pick up where they left off. That was one of the challenges that we had during that. So mm-hmm. if they wanted to do the Flipgrid, they had to start it and finish it the same day.
That same day.
Which was really the biggest challenge besides the screenshot. The screenshotting was a challenge for the younger ones, not so much for the older ones.
And what devices? These were on Chromebooks?
Yes, Chromebooks. Mm-hmm. I have a class set of Chromebooks I wrote grants for. So.
Share your success. Reach out to us with questions or success stories at somethingtotechabout@gmail.com. We look forward to your messages and could even include your ideas, questions, and successes in future shows.
So I'm going to ask you in front of everybody, we're going to share this template with the listeners. So as you're explaining this, they can be looking through and... Sure. Enjoying what you're saying and thinking about how to apply that in their own classrooms, because make a copy and make it yours.
That's it. I think one of the things that I really focused on with what you were just saying was the opportunities for students to create. Mm-hmm. Not only were they getting the information, but in turn, they were creating something to show you what they know, whether it was the Flipgrid video or whether it was the screenshot pasted, copied to the slideshow. So I think that's a very, that's something that we talk about,
It's all about accountability.
Yes, the accountability piece. And I think, how did you see a change in the way the students were interested? Did you you see any?
I always try to keep it pretty interesting in my classroom anyway.
I can imagine,
I'm bored, I know they're bored, and we're not going to get anything done that mm-hmm. way. So I always try to keep things lively. But I found giving them more freedom to do their own thing, it created a whole lot of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
They were so excited to show me what they could do. And when just giving them, the freedom to do it. Because I don't feel like a lot of people, this is a challenge, technology is a challenge for a lot of teachers, especially because we don't have enough of it, or, they're just scared of it, or they don't know how to implement it. There's lots of different challenges when it comes to technology. And so when the kids are given this opportunity to use the technology, because they're so good at it, that just gives them another, you know, level of excitement. And just to let them go on it, they're like, whoa, wait.
Right.
You're just letting me do this? You know?
Like, yeah, this is the jump up period, for sure.
Yes, under my umbrella, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Could you share what your classroom is like? So if you have a choice board like this in action using Chromebooks and students are kind of in various phases of completion.
Yeah.
If you're the only adult in the room, can you talk a little bit about how you manage that and how students manage to get what they need done and just kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. I kind of put them into smaller groups. There's, you know, and I have that luxury because I don't have a very large class, which is unusual. I mean, EIP is a small group,
right.
So I'm not dealing with a full classroom. So I want to go ahead and put that out there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's a lot easier for me than it is for a regular classroom teacher.
Okay.
So I'll put like 3 or 4 kids at a group and just kind of wander around. I'll stop when I need to, you know, help out. But for the most part, they're so involved in it that there really isn't a lot of classroom management. You know, just keeping an eye on the screens is really all you need to do, making sure that they're on task and doing what they're supposed to be doing.
So I see your role. You mentioned that you're walking around the room.
Right.
Just circling
as needed,
through.
Yes.
Is there ever an opportunity where you are taking a small group on your own while putting the other students out?
Yeah, once I kind of make sure everybody's on task and doing it, I always set my room up so that I can see all the screens. If I'm sitting back, I can see the screens from wherever I am, so I can see, you know, nobody's sneaking off onto like a music website or a, you know, comic books or whatever they like to do, their gaming
right.
stuff.
That never happens.
So, no, never. So I kind of keep the screens facing me. And I'll also, like, I'll pair kids up so that one kid, if they're having an issue, I always ask them to ask two before they ask, or ask three before me.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm at a group with a small group of kids, then they'll be able to, you know, try to figure it out on their own before they come to me and interrupt my group. But, you know, if that's an issue, then I'll usually stop what I'm doing and help them out and then come back.
Right.
But yeah, I do have an opportunity for small groups a lot too.
So have you seen a change in how you are teaching?
Yeah, it's completely different. It's completely different. There used to be so many more materials that I would need to gather and make sure I had everything ready. But now, like, with all the technology and the kids just, I mean, the manipulatives are all right there. I don't have to worry about pulling out boxes and things like that and preparing, you know, printing out and playing games, you know, because that was kind of my thing, was I always try to make it learning fun, especially for EIP, because they're already struggling. So
right.
I want them to make sure they're learning in a fun way, because that's the way I want to learn. So, and it kind of helps it stick a little bit if you're playing games and doing fun things. So it's a lot easier to do things on the computer and a lot more, I don't know, like teacher friendly, I guess.
Yeah, a lot
more engaging, because this is what they're into. They're not into, you know.
Right.
They just, all the kids are, this is their life. Technology is life.
I can agree. I mean, you know, with the workflow from the teacher to the student or student to student, I see where technology definitely plays a positive part in those workflows.
Mm-hmm. And when you can incorporate it into your lessons, you can still, you know, read a book and you can still, you know, get your hands on things like that. But the technology helps you kind of bring it to that next level.
Agreed.
Connect with us. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at ST Tech About. Be sure to subscribe to Something to Tech About on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify, or listen from the podcast collection from the Savannah Morning News.
Okay, Shauna, you were a participant in the Academy and the Academy 2, and you have earned your Google Certified Educator Levels 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about how maybe those courses and learning more about the Google apps have helped you in your role as an academic coach?
Oh, yes. Well, once I started taking the Google Level 1, As the academic coach, I started using everything Google and tried to steer everybody away from Microsoft Word and Microsoft PowerPoint and Microsoft.
Why did you do that?
Because Google goes with you everywhere and you don't have to use jump drives and you don't have to worry about things crashing.
Yes.
Google is, the cloud is available to you everywhere. And also, it makes it really great for collaboration. Mm-hmm. I work really closely with my principal on a lot of things.
Yes.
And so what we'll do is we'll have a document, we'll share a document, and then we'll type in it at the same time. Like, you work up top, I'll work down on the bottom, and we'll, you know, do things like
somewhere.
That. And,
yeah.
And it's all right there. I can see what she's doing. She can see what I'm doing.
Pretty instant.
It's a really, really cool collaboration tool. So, yeah, once I started doing the level one, I realized, like, this is the way to go. I don't have to carry around a keychain full of jump drives, like I said. Like, I know a lot of people who do that.
Still.
And the first one I worked on was the head honcho. So my principal, I was like, look.
She starts right at the top, right?
I started right at the top. So it trickles down, you know.
Absolutely.
So every time she would go to her computer, she'd be like, oh, okay, let's start a letter. And she'd open up Microsoft, and I'd say, let's open up Google Docs. Let's do it through Google Docs. So I kind of trained her first in that. And so once we did that, we started sharing things throughout staff. I created a teen drive for our school, so I put a lot of resources for our grade levels. I created Google Classrooms for each of our grade levels, so we can share things there. That was my first year.
And what sorts of things did you share in Google Classrooms?
Like resources, things like that. Things that the instructional coaches would give us. I would share those kind of things there.
And balanced literacy.
Balanced literacy, Eureka, mm-hmm. things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that was that first year that I was academic coach was the first year we had balanced literacy and Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of new information coming at us from every angle. So putting it in that teen drive and putting it in Google Classroom kind of had it more all together.
Right.
So it wasn't just an email. Here's an email with this in it. Here's an email mm-hmm. with that in it. It kind of put it all together so it's all in one place. My next year kind of started... Now that I've gotten everybody used to sort of using Google Classroom, we did a whole lot more. We did a lesson plan template in there. We did a lot more collaboration. We did our data team meetings in Google Drive. So the data team was a really cool one. What I would do is create a data document, and then they would put their test data in before they even came to the meeting. So I would share the Google Doc with the grade levels. They would put their data in, and then we would come to the group, and everybody's data would be there.
Right.
So as soon as we got into the meeting, we could get started. We didn't have to sit there and type in data while we're waiting for everybody, you know.
So that's almost a flipped classroom, like within the staff.
Right.
Workflow.
So once we got in the meeting, we could pull the data up and get going, and we didn't have to. You know, there was no wait time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. And then, of course, whatever notes we're taking and things like that also will be shared with them, so everybody has access to, you know, our next steps and things like that. That was a really cool piece that
I vaguely remember. A Google spreadsheet that you and Ms. Drager created. What was that? Was that the lesson plan?
That was the lesson plan. Yeah. And that one definitely came with some challenges. Mm-hmm. That was last year. We created a really great lesson plan, but we made it on Google Sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought drop-down boxes or drop-down menus mm-hmm. and things like that. The only problem was... Google Sheets is for data, not for words. So what would happen is the box would cut off the teacher's typing, and then when they would close out the box after typing, you could only see the first sentence. And that doesn't really do you any good. Even in some places where you could extend the box a little bit, it was a nightmare for people who weren't really sure how to use Sheets.
Right. You didn't want frustration.
And I didn't want frustration. And that was kind of the overall feeling about it at mm-hmm. first was mm-hmm. just the frustration of why the boxes weren't moving the way they wanted them to move, and
right,
you know, I was having to merge things for people, and like it was kind of a nightmare at the beginning. So what I did at the end of last year was I transferred the Google Sheets lesson plan into Google Docs.
Okay.
And instead of like menu drop down menu.
Yeah.
I made checkboxes. So, because you can't really do a drop down box in Sheets. So, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that this is going to be the solution to our lesson plan problems. Once the end of the year came around, they had, you know, gotten used to it and everything.
Right.
But I still want to make it a lot more user friendly. So I did it on Google Docs, same format and everything, just a different platform.
Right, right.
So I'm hoping that my teachers will really like that, and they're turning their lesson plans. That was the thing I did the next year after I rolled out the data stuff. And then I got everybody used to Google, and then I was like, okay, now we have a Google Classroom for you to drop your lesson plans in. So I'm gradually bringing everybody up to speed with Google.
Well, and it gives you the opportunity to then model feedback and model what types of things can be placed in a Google Classroom.
Right, because a lot of, you know, when teachers create a Google Classroom, they don't see what the students see.
Yes.
So when they're actually part of the Google Classroom as a, you know, student, it makes it a little clearer for them to be able to help the students as what the students will be expected to do and so forth.
Yeah, because they don't have the same buttons or views or anything.
No,
so it's nice to be able to have that opportunity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Shauna, it was so exciting to have you here in the studio today. I have one final question for you. When do you plan on getting your Google Certified Educator Trainer?
As soon as possible, Angie.
All right. As soon as possible. I might have to cut that part. Well, Shauna, thanks for coming in today. We've really enjoyed having you. Our listeners, please know that we will be sharing Shauna's templates and some of the websites she mentioned in our show notes.
So. Yes.
Be sure to pop on over there to get some of her resources and put them to use in your classrooms or your academic coaching positions.
Thanks, Shauna.
Thanks, guys.
Well, can't believe we have finished season one. We want to thank all of our listeners and our guest speakers for joining us.
How about a special shout out to our producer?
Definitely, Mr. Zach Dennis. Thank you so much for working miracles on your with your editing skills.
Shout out. Oh, definitely. Oh my gosh, because he had a lot of work to do for all of my little gaffes.
And coming soon, in a few weeks, we'll be talking about our trips on the road to two different conferences.
Yeah, we'll share our learning and also share a few things that we think others will appreciate. If you couldn't actually be there with us, you might be able to enjoy some of our tips and tricks right from your own home.
And also a little sneak peek into season two.
So enjoy your break. We're going to have a little hiatus. And we'll come back with more of Something to Tech About.